Okay, so this message is the last installment of my series, What Child Is This? It's the conclusion really to our Advent, our Christmas readings that we did, and the messages I did on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So this is part three. And I could have picked a lot of different things to talk about in the third part of this, I realized, and I thought of many good ideas after it, but I settled on this one passage, which is a great passage, which really caught my attention just as I was reading through my Bible and thinking about this. But one of the things that I recently realized, just kind of looking at my messages as a whole, looking back, it's almost like there's a past, present, and future aspect of these messages in emphasis. So the first message was really emphasizing something about the past, when Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord, and Simeon and Anna came to them and talked about who Jesus was and shared that with everybody and encouraged them and gave them that message, I think, which was very much from the Lord. That's something that happened in the past. And then the present, I say present, in that in last week's message we talked about who Jesus really is. And how who he's always been, but who he presently still is today. So it's a current aspect, you know, and it'll go on, and that's who he will be. But the future aspect of what we're going to talk about today, and this idea of what child is this, we're going to focus on the future and what he's going to do. Not everything that he's going to do. Just we're going to look at one small part, one small piece, one small thing to come. But it helps to answer the question more and more: what child is this? Amen? Well, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this very special time that we get to spend together in it. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and just completely move me out of the way. And I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to us and teach us and strengthen us and just encourage us if we need that. Comfort us if we need that. Convict us if we need that. Pray for that. Pray for your work here today. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So just a little bit of a background. We're going to be in the book of Revelation, and that's at the end of your Bible. This is the concluding book, the end story. And that's there, and I hope that you've all turned there already and you have that ready, or you have your tablets or whatever you're doing here, your phones. But be good to be following along. I do have the words up here, but best to have your Bibles out always. All right, so some background here. John, one of the apostles, this is after Christ died and rose again and went to heaven, and the early church is beginning to be developed. John was serving the Lord on the island of Patmos. Okay. And this is, I believe, in Greece, if I have that right. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, it says. So I think he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Lord's Day is what day of the week? Sunday. It's the day that the Lord rose from the dead. That's why it's called the Lord's Day. It's different than the Sabbath. It's the Lord's Day. It's the first day of the week. And John hears a loud voice. And the way he describes it, it sounds like a trumpet. So that's probably loud, right? Boom, boom, boom. You know, that's kind of what I picture it being. Deep. The voice tells him to write down what he sees. That's the message the voice hears. And he turns around to see where the voice is coming from or who the voice is. All right? And it's really cool when he turns around. When he turns around, what does he see? He sees seven lampstands. And among the lampstands, he sees, it doesn't say this at first, but we come to understand he sees Jesus among the seven lampstands. And I just want to make sure I get this right, so I've written out very well, just tell everybody. Jesus is holding seven stars in his hand. That's cool to think. And this is one of my favorites of what he sees. It says, and out of his mouth comes a sharp, two-edged sword. What do you think that sword is? It's like the Word of God. Sharp, like two-edged sword. That's what the Word of God is. And so out of Jesus' mouth comes this sharp, two-edged sword. And His face was shining like the sun. So he sees the radiance of Jesus. And it kind of reminds me of when he went up in the mountain and he was transfigured and his face began to shine. But here he's just shining with such power. And how do you think John would react to that? Well, John falls down as if to die at the feet of Jesus. He's so in awe of what he's seeing. But Jesus comforts him and he tells him again to write down what he sees. Jesus wants him to write it down. And he wants it to be proclaimed and shared. And Jesus explains the mystery of the seven stars and the seven lampstands. The seven lampstands are seven churches. And the seven stars are the seven angels of those seven churches. And finally, he tells him, this is of the introduction here, he tells him to write some things down specifically for each of those seven churches and to deliver a message to those seven churches. And they say things like, you're doing good in this area, but let me warn you about this. You've become lukewarm. You're neither hot nor cold, and I wish that you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm, and because you're lukewarm, I just want to spit you out of my mouth. It's a warning to not be lukewarm. And there's so many lessons and applications and things that we learn from that as the church. Those things that were taught. But that's the introduction. That's what happened before chapter 4 where we are. That's just my summary of it. Okay? So let's pick up in chapter 4. And we're going to do chapter 4 and 5 today. I'm not going to go in really thoroughly on this. But we're going to cover a lot of stuff today, though. It says, after this I looked. So what does he mean by after this? It's after all the stuff that I just told you. After he wrote the letters to the churches and after Christ had first appeared to him, all this is continuing to go on. So this is what comes after that. Okay? After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. So you really have two after this there. So he says, come on up here, and I'll show you what must take place after this. This after this is referring to all the stuff that he wrote before and everything that's there. And these are the things that are still to come. These are the things that are in the future, things that are going to happen and things that must happen. I will show you what must take place after this, and it has to take place. It's God's will, it's God's plan, it's what God's ordained, and all these things have to take place. And he says, at once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. So John is in the Spirit. He's filled with the Spirit again. God fills him with the Spirit so he can have this vision, so he can see, so he can have a glimpse into heaven. There's an open door. And God is allowing him to see this. And he sees in the throne in heaven, he sees a throne and he sees one seated on the throne. Who do you think that is seated on the throne? God. It's God. It doesn't say in this verse, it doesn't identify God as God, but it's a lot like the vision that we read earlier of Isaiah looking up and seeing God on his throne. And I think throne, if I remember right, is mentioned 13 times in this chapter here. Throne is mentioned. And the idea here is that it's really conveying God's sovereign rule there, his throne. It says, and he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And I think if I remember right, jasper's like diamond, carnelian's like ruby. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. And so there's a rainbow around the throne. And what does a rainbow signify when we think about it? God's faithfulness, God's promise that he gave. But this rainbow has a slight emerald tint to it. So it's a little bit different looking than probably the rainbows that we're used to seeing. But emerald is like probably the dominant color in that rainbow. And around the throne were 24 thrones. And seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns in their heads. So not only is there the one throne there, but around that throne are 24 other thrones, and on those thrones are 24 elders, and they have gold crowns on their heads. And so who are these 24 elders? It's a good, important question to ask. And it's not one that's answered by the text right here immediately. And so actually different people have different ideas. But I think the safest thing I can say is that these 24 elders, they're wearing white. That means that they're redeemed by Christ. They're saved. They're covered by the blood of Christ. That's what the white signifies, to wear the white, to put on the white. We see that in Revelation. So they're saved. So these are representative of the redeemed, of the saved. And another idea would be that it's the church. This is representative of the church. Now, are there really exactly 24? I think so. I think that's what it says. That's what I would understand, you know, that the 24. Does this mean that it's talking about specific 24 people, 24 there? I think it does. That would be my best understanding to see. But they're representative of all of us, if we're saved and we have the blood of Christ over us. We want to be redeemed. We want to be wearing white in that case. So there are 24 elders. Do you think you and I are one of the elders? One of those 24 elders? I doubt it very seriously. You might be, but I'm not. 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns in their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, seven spirits of God, this is one that's also kind of hard because it doesn't, again, say in the text, it doesn't say what the seven spirits of God are. Are there seven different spirits of God? Can we name them? What are they? And as I looked at this and studied this, I mean, the best idea of this is that this is representative of the Holy Spirit. And in a couple of different ways it's representative of the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways that as we look at that is that with the Holy Spirit, okay, there are seven, this is like what's called a sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is one idea that people have on this. And there's all these different things that the Holy Spirit does, but there's these seven things that really stand out. And so that seven, which is a number of perfection, means perfection, represents the fullness of the work of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does. Another example of this is there's a seven candle menorah, the flames there. There's seven candles, and that those seven candles represent the Holy Spirit of God. And then also just the idea of completion being that it's the complete power of the Holy Spirit and what He does. And so as far as I know, and I'm not going to be dogmatic on this, I think that's the best that I've read and understand as far as what those seven flames mean, those seven lamps. From the throne, again, I read this, came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. That's what we just talked about. And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. So there, in addition to the 24 elders, there's four living creatures, and they have, it says, eyes in front and behind. And then it goes on and it describes them a little bit. It says, the first living creature, like a lion, has the appearance of a lion, but yet very different. The second living creature, like an ox. The third living creature, with the face of a man. And the fourth living creature, like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So we're getting a glimpse into heaven here. And in heaven there are these four living creatures that are different than any creature that we've ever seen, but yet they're similar to some that we've seen. the four living creatures. And they're around the throne, and they have wings. It says they have six wings, and they never stop saying that. They never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They are leading worship in heaven and adoring God and who He is. And they say He's completely set apart, He's completely holy, and He's completely almighty. And they say, and He was, and He is to come. He's coming again. He's coming. And they're bearing witness to that. And who are these four living creatures? As far as the best understanding that we have, because again, it's like you conclude this. There are other chapters in the Bible that have very similar accounts and very similar descriptions to these. And in those other places, like Ezekiel 10 and Isaiah 6, that these are the angels. Not just any normal angels, but they're the cherubim angels. So those are who the four living creatures are. But the main thing is if you look at what they do, they bear witness to who God is. And it's like they're leading in worship. And do they ever get tired of it? No. They don't never get tired of it. And it just goes on and on. And I think really that's really a lot of what's already going on in heaven right now. In this vision, we're looking ahead to the future. We haven't really got to the part that we're really going to be focusing on. This is kind of all the setup about like what's going on in heaven. And I think this is very much going on in heaven right now. And God is completely worthy, and He's completely worthy to be worshipped, and He's completely set apart. And that's what these special angels are doing. And they never stop saying it because it's true. And they can't stop saying it. You know when you get excited about something, you can't stop talking about it? You know, really excited about it? Well, this is how the angels are there in this case. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And it doesn't end there, though. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, this is like a response to what the four living creatures say. They say, "Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created." And so the 24 elders fall down and they worship and they take their crowns and they cast them before the Lord. And if you've ever heard there's a lot of teachings in the church because they come from the Bible, but there's probably different ways to think about it, about receiving crowns from God for serving Him, different types of crowns. Oftentimes, the idea would be that if God gives you literally a crown, that you don't keep it for yourself, but you cast it at the feet of Jesus. Now, it doesn't actually say that in the Bible, though. It says the 24 elders cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus, but it's kind of a conclusion that the 24 elders represent the church. But in any event, I think as we think about it, any reward, anything that we would have, it all goes to Jesus. It all goes to Him. It's all His. I tend to actually think about the crowns maybe a little different than some people that I've heard speak, you know, like they're going to have a whole stack of crowns in their head when they get to heaven and different things. But I think like, for instance, like the crown of life, we get to be there. We get to be alive. That's the reward, you know, that we have and serving Him, you know. But it is all for God, and it's all given to God, and all the glory and honor goes to Him. And we're never going to get tired of worshiping Him. And so when we see them, the experience to be had there is going to be so sweet and so amazing. And that's what's going on. That's what's going on in heaven. I think it's going on now. It's what God allowed John to see, the worship of God that's happening in heaven. Now the whole thing, the whole story here is a future thing. It's looking forward to the future. Before I go on, think about what the elders actually said though too. Because this reminds me of something. He says, "Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. God is completely worthy for all those things. It says, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. It reminds me of one of the passages we talked about last week, how everything that exists was created by God. It was created by Him, for Him, and it exists through Him. And so we only exist because of Him and His good pleasure, and everything holds together because of Him. And so that verse, this is another one that really reminds me of that as far as who God is as our Creator. So going on in chapter 5, it says, then I saw in the right hand of Him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. So he happens to notice Him who's seated on the throne, God, in His hand, a scroll, like something that they would write a contract or something on, or some legal document. And I say that because it's sealed 7 times, and usually if you had a very important document, this is both in Rome and in the Hebrew culture, that it would be sealed, and it would be sealed numerous times. So this document sealed 7 times, again, for something that's very significant and very important. And this would be the kind of thing that you would seal a will, a last will and testimony, 7 times in this way. So some often think about this as almost being like God's last will and testimony. But what we know by the seals is this is a very important document right here that God is holding in His hands. And this is what John notices as he looks there. He says, and I saw a strong angel. Now I'd like to see that. The strong angel. And I think that also some people think this is Gabriel because that's what his name means too. Like mighty angel. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. He sees it. He hears the angel. The angel says, who's worthy to break open those seals? And there's that awkward moment in heaven when everyone kind of looks around and says, not me. I'm not worthy. No one's worthy. And in just a really small way, it reminds me of when a bunch of old guys are playing basketball and the ball gets stuck up in the rim, in the corner of the rim. And somebody's got to jump up there and get it out or something. But there's like kind of this shameful thing where what you do is like you pretend like you don't see it and you like walk the other way. Away from the rim, because you can't jump up that high and get it. Maybe you used to be able to, but you can't do it anymore. So it's like the walk of shame for old guys when they're playing basketball. But it's almost like I picture a little bit of that in heaven, in that everyone realized that they couldn't do it. They weren't worthy. They weren't able. There was no angel found that could do it. There's no man found that can do it. None of the elders could do it. Nobody could break open those seals because no one was worthy to do it. And I guess it's just like that in our lives too. I mean, really, we can have all kinds of other pursuits, all kinds of other things. Nothing else is worthy to take the place of God and to take the place of Jesus Christ. He's completely worthy. And He deserves our full affection, our full attention, our lives and everything that we have. But in heaven, there was this search. Heaven and earth, everywhere, there's this search. This idea, this time, to see if anybody was going to be worthy to open up the scroll. And I think some time did pass because it says, and I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And in reality, life without Jesus is very sad. And it's very empty. And I think God is allowing John to see this and understand the need. And his reaction, though, at this time is the emotion of being just very sad as far as what's happening. And he cries over it. But it doesn't go on indefinitely, because what happens next, it says, and one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals. He says, stop crying, weep no more. There's someone who can open it. It's the Lion from the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. Now those are messianic titles that go along with other scripture, other passages. So the line of Judah goes back actually to Genesis 49. And when we get through Genesis, that'll probably be like around July when we're in that, that we will talk about that passage where this comes from and how when that was the blessing that was given to Judah by his father, that's mentioned in that prophecy about the Messiah that's there and him being a king. And so really when we think about Christ, and it's on your bulletin, it says lion and lamb. Right now we're talking about the lion aspect, and what the Bible promises is that he is a king, the enduring king. And so we think about that, lion means king and ruler, powerful ruler. And so that's who Christ is. So he says, the elder says, there's one worthy to open it. It's the Lion of Judah, the king, the mighty one. He can do it. And he also says the root of David, which is another title which comes from another Old Testament passage and kind of many of them, identifying him as being a descendant of David, but on the throne of David. So these promises, they work together. So there is one who's worthy to do it. Okay. So let me read that again. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. What has he conquered? Future? He's conquered sin and death and Satan and everything that is against God. He's conquered. He's a conqueror. He won the victory. The battle's already been fought. It's already been won. It's already happened at the cross. And when he came out of the grave, the victory was declared. He's the conqueror, and he says, the conqueror, the one who has conquered that, he's the one who's worthy, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. So he looks now there, and he sees a lamb. So we talked about lion, but now we're going to talk about lamb. He sees a lamb standing there. And the lamb looked like it had been slain because he had been slain. He died on the cross for us. But he's alive. And he's standing there. And he had seven horns. And the horns are thought to represent complete power and strength. He had the seven horns. And with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, just like we talked about before, the Holy Spirit, the perfection and fullness of the Holy Spirit that God sent out into all the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So the four living creatures and the 24 elders fall down and worship the Lamb because they know who the Lamb is. You know, we think of this, what child is this? Who this child is? Who this little baby Jesus was that was in the manger? Well, he's the one who someday, this is going to happen, this very event that we're talking about, the elders and the four living creatures fall down and they worship him and they see who he is, and he's worthy to take the scroll and to open it. And they have these golden bowls full of incense. And if you were Jewish, this would be very familiar to you. This would be something that would happen in the temple. They'd have these big bowls full of incense that when you burned them, the smell would go into the Holy of Holies, and it's thought to go into the nostrils of the Lord, and it's to represent your prayers going before God. And so these things are ideas of our prayers before God. This is what we're seeing here going on in heaven. But we know that we could approach the throne of God with confidence, and our prayers go through and they make it. This is representative of that. The bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, and a new song really represents redemption, being saved. You know, the old past life, the old bad things, having this new promise that's in God. And so hopefully that if we're here, we have a relationship with Christ, that God has put a new song in our hearts. And that's really what's going on here. They're celebrating that and singing that. There's that new song. It doesn't mean that every day in heaven they learn a new song with new words. But it's that new song of joy, that new life in Christ. They sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." So again, they celebrate the worthiness of the Lamb. And the fact that He is the one, and He's the only one who's worthy to take this scroll and to open it and to break open its seals. And He is worthy because He's the conqueror and because He was slain, and it was by His blood that He ransomed and He saved people from every tribe and every nation, you know, every skin color, every background, every language throughout the world. It's not a North American phenomenon. It's not something just central to Israel, but it's God's plan for the whole world. And that's what the Lamb did. He says that you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. So we are a kingdom through what Christ did. And we are also priests. And I think this is talking about the fact that we are a priesthood of believers. All of us, everyone who is a believer, is a priest. Every single one of us, not just a select group, but every single one of us is a priest to God. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, and wisdom, and might, and honor, and glory, and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To Him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. So as this happens, he looks again and he sees many, many angels. It says he sees myriads and thousands, myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. How much is a myriad? Anybody know? I what I looked up as the idea was it's just many, 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 many. Just a great multitude. I remember back in the old days, you know how different lingo goes through? I refuse to ever say this, but I remember when we were younger, kids would always say, "Mass." Looked up and saw mass angels everywhere. That's what they probably would have said back then. I don't know what they say now. Lots. More than Googles. So he sees these many, many angels, and they're saying kind of what they had said before. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," talking about Jesus, "to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." He's the one who's worthy. "And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all in them saying." So basically, in this future event that he's saying, and I don't know exactly how it plays out, if this happens in this very moment, or he's saying this is what's going to happen. This is absolutely what's going to happen. Every creature, everywhere, in heaven and on earth, is going to acknowledge and recognize who Jesus Christ is. What child is this? That's the child in the manger. But this is the child we see who he really is. And he's the one that we're all going to bow down and worship. And every knee is going to bend to Him. You see, every knee is going to bend. Does it say that it's just going to be those who believe in Him and trust Him as a Savior here in this lifetime? Now, every single knee is going to bow to Him. And so, if a loved one, our friend, has not bowed the knee to Christ here now, on this side of things, they will bow to Him as the conqueror. That's who that baby is. Now that doesn't mean that they're all saved either. So to make that clear, that if you're bowing your knee, then it's too late. You know, if you haven't already given your life to Christ, then trust in Him. So that's who He is. But everyone's going to acknowledge Him. All right? So I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the sea and in the sea, and all of them saying, "To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen. Yes, that is true. We agree." And the elders fell down and worshiped Him. And I guess I'll just close with this. You know, if this is who Jesus is, and this is what's going to happen, this is a glimpse into the future, Christmas future, kind of not really like Scrooge or anything here. But if we could be kind of like that, in the sense that John had this vision and this dream, but it's given to us to get our attention. And you remember how in that movie Scrooge, how what a changed man he was when he came out of it, because he saw the future? Well, if this is our future, and this is who Christ is, and this is where we're going, and this is what's going on, and this is what's going to happen in this world, basically what you see here is Christ opens up the scroll, breaks open the seals, and what the seals are God's judgment, His final judgment. And His return and His conquering of everything, and it's the end. That's what that is. And so basically we're just here waiting for a time for these events to happen. This is going to happen as sure as anything that Christ ever said and that God ever promised, that this event will happen and He'll break open that seal, and His final judgment will come upon the world. And the fact is, if He's worthy for that, and if this is who He is, and if this is what we have looked forward to, isn't He worthy for us right now to really worship Him and to really, really make Him the Lord of our lives, and to really make Him first this year in 2017, and to really be very, very committed, strongly committed to Him and strongly living the life that He wants us to live? Is He worthy of that? If we were to look across the earth and have a search for anything else that was worthy, we would find nothing. It'd be like that awkward moment. Nope, nothing else is worthy. It's only Jesus. And I hope that this coming year that we're all willing to grow, and we're all willing to cast aside ways that we've lived in the old life before we knew Jesus, and we made other things more significant and more important, and we followed the ways of the world, that we would be willing to put those things aside and really live this life for Jesus and just be so strongly committed to Him, and let His Holy Spirit and just what He'll do in our lives, let Him take hold of us and let us really grow this year. Is that a prayer in your heart that you have? I hope it is. I hope that you're like the four living creatures who say, "Yeah, amen." And that's really what you want. That's really what you want in your life. You don't want to just go through the motions anymore. But you want to be completely sold out to the Lord. Because this is what we have to look forward to. And it's going to be awesome. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank You so much that You reign and rule, Lord. We just thank You for that. We thank You for sending us Your Son, Jesus. We thank You for Your complete willingness to come and to humble Yourself, to go through all the things on our behalf that You went through, that show us Your love. We thank You that You conquered sin and death and Satan. We thank You that You have a wonderful plan looking forward to work in our lives and to bring us to be with You forever, Lord. So our prayer today is that we leave this place very worshipful, because that's who we are as believers, and we need to be never ceasing to worship You, Lord. And I pray that You would help us to just become very serious about our faith and our relationship with You, Lord, and that there would be nothing between us or You at all, and that 2017 would be an incredible year for us. And we thank You. And we also finally, Lord, think back to You, Jesus, coming as a little baby and us just getting over celebrating that as Christmas. Lord, help us never really forget who You really are, Lord. Thank You so much. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.